Father, we open this book again. We thank you so much for the privilege to serve you. And thank you, Lord. We live in ages that are different when we started years ago. And it just seemed like there's so many things that's required on God's people in our day that maybe there's good reason for that. I don't know. But I just know that it seems like every way we turn, we've been touched with something that you hadn't had to deal with many years ago. And even now, we ask that you bless as we try to conform to what's needed. This insurance coming up, we have to have that. We want to do everything the insurance company tells us we need to do and be sure that they understand we do have these things in place. Now, bless this book tonight to our heart. It helps us to grow, Lord. Without it, we don't know you. With it, we can grow as much as we want to as we obey you. It's not something we just learn. It's learn and obey. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you look in 2 Corinthians, turn there with me. Over about four, I want to read verse 1 and 2, and because we made this statement that when we talk about the manifestation, it's something that's manifested. The word actually means to make clear, to prove, or to show evidence that something is real or truth. And Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, we have received, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And then notice he said, but have not renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. That is, we don't try to fool people by being wiser than God and twisting the word of God around, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. That is, we do what we do, that in turn, the conscience, what we do can help man see his conscience can be clear, and the commending means to commit to one's charge in turn, that we do everything we can to help one to have a clear conscience when it comes to the Word of God. And so as we ended up a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the light in Genesis 1, God gave us light. He said, let there be light. We went into detail about that, and he even showed you he had in the demonstration about what happens when you and I get saved. And then just to came to bring you up to date to finish this tonight, in Genesis chapter 11, verse 1 through 19, Satan's spiritual darkness is being manifested, and we see Nimrod and starting out what was known at that particular time, the world system that's anti-God. And from there, there was a direction headed towards the end of age for that, even though they didn't look at the end of age, but in God's plan, he allowed that to happen. And then you get to Genesis chapter 12, and you see the ecclesiastical system where God called Abraham out and started the system that God wants in there if they run parallel down through the years. And so when we get to when we get down to in the new gospel, then Jesus comes along and talks about a light. And he says in John chapter 8, verse 12, he said, I am the light of the world. In chapter 9, verse 5, he says, as long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. And then in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5, Paul said, ye are the children of light. And so when we talk about the children of light, what does that mean? We don't have no light in ourselves. We have to be born again. And the new life that's in Christ is seen in the deeds that we do as far as the manifestation to a world. In other words, how we live for God out there and among ourselves is the light the world sees. It's either Christ is the light that man shines through us in turn, but that light can go dim as we don't grow and grow brighter as we do grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And growth, ladies and gentlemen, is an important thing for the child of God. You don't grow because people say, I've grown. You grow because you study the Word of God and ask God to help out. And we as Christians have the ability to do that because of the Holy Spirit living in us. In Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 8, he said, walk as children of light. So God has given us the instructions on what needs to be done as far as this light is concerned into the world. Now turn to 2 Corinthians with me, chapter 5, where we're at 5 now. And we want to read a verse down in about verse 9, 10, and 11. So we're talking about a light in a dark world. When the world hears about spiritual darkness, they don't look at it through the eyes of we do. In other words, we have light in here, but anyone who is not saved, though they're in our midst, is in spiritual darkness. And when we go back into that world in the daylight, when the world's sun is shining so bright, you know, you have to have sunglasses. If a man's not saved, a person not saved, they are in spiritual darkness. And so God lets us see physical elements of things to understand there's a spiritual side that's happening, and he describes it in such a way that we can understand. Though we understand what light is doing, we also understand what darkness is. And so when we look at Christ, who is light, and we look at Satan, who is darkness, then he's letting us see there's a spiritual world that these can be seen. You can't see with the physical eye, but you see in the manifestation of what God does in a heart as he promotes himself in that particular light. And so 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7 says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." Now that's the difference in the spiritual world. In this physical world, we walk by sight. But in the spiritual world, we walk by faith. We walk by sight in the physical world because we see with the sunlight that reflects objects. And we walk by the spiritual world by faith, which the Lord Jesus Christ is the light that reflects in and shines in our heart. And therefore, it's amazing to me that we know the light that should be shining through us is Jesus Christ himself, who is the spiritual light of the world. On the other hand, when you think about what we are, how that light's in us, it amazes that God would allow us to be able to walk as children of light as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Because if you be honest, well, it's not none of us walk as bright as we should. Or maybe we could. On the other hand, we should be developing more and more and more in brightness through the world to see who the Lord Jesus Christ is. So that not even words wouldn't have to be saved, but the life would bring about an atmosphere to a person's life. They say that's bound to be a Christian there, as they said it to the Christian at Antioch. But here in verse 8, he says, "We are confident, and I say, willing rather to be absent from the body, be present with the Lord." Watch verse 9, though. "Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent," get it in your mind, present or absent. He's talking about here as far as the body is concerned. And he said, "We may be accepted," and what's the next preposition? "Of him." Now, you've really got to understand this. God didn't change that because he made a mistake. Because if you're saved, you're in him. Yeah. Amen? Help me out. Yeah, ladies, say amen to me and won't. Do something. Because this is so real to get straight, to understand what it means to be born again. If you have God's life in you, living for the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to be shining the light in our hearts to let us understand who we are and what we should be doing. And so he goes on again and says, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, as he talks about that we'd be absent, he may be accepted of him. Now, when you talk about of him, we know that we can't be of him unless we're in him. We can't be born again. We can't be saved unless we are in him. Okay? You understand that? Now, well, what is the of then? Well, when he talks about of him, in this case, you're already in him. And it means to be accepted of him. It means well-pleasing to him in our service to God, in our service to the Lord Jesus Christ, our behavior, our practical experience, our laboring, our ambitions, our approval. In other words, to be accepted of him, that God has approved the works that we're doing in turn, which leads to 1 Corinthians 3 for having been, get rewards in heaven. So it's understanding you have to be in him to get rewards. And you have to be of him to receive rewards, because what we practice that he proves of gives us rewards when we stand in the beam of seat of Christ one day in the future. So everything will be made manifest in that day. Every idle word and thought will be made manifest. God is going to show us all how our works appear to him. Get this now. It's not how our works appear to us or each other. Because I guarantee you, our works that appears to us and each other won't be complete like it is our works appears to him. He will see the perfection of those works. We only see what we see, and therefore, hopefully, that we get it together as Scripture as it should be. So here God must have success through us, and that is because of us, he's allowed to help us grow in grace and knowledge in the Lord, and show to a world that he can manifest himself through his people, that walk this side of eternity until we get home on the other side. And so it's interesting to understand that not only am I in him, but I'm of him if I'm doing the good works that Paul said we need to do in Ephesians chapter 2, that he created in Christ Jesus that we might serve the living God. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13 says, every man's work shall be made manifest, and they'll be rewarded according to that manifestation, and it'll be done by fire, so the fire will treat every work but his works the same. And if he's like, you know, go silver and precious stone, it'd come out. If wood, hay, and stubble, it'll consume. There'd be no challenge. There'd be no reruns. It'll be done. It'll be set, and that's the way it'll be done. So we work for the glory of God. This is not for salvation. 1 Corinthians 3 is not for salvation. This is the rewards that God says we can get for service after we're born into the family of God. So in the day of manifestation of the I am, that is who God says his name is, many shall be ashamed for doing so little, I'm sure, but I think all of us will be realized there'd been a lot more we could have done, even though there will be rewards for some things. And we won't be measured by who we are by somebody else. I'll never be measured by you. You'll never be measured by me. And no one else in this world who seem to be a giant for God, we might be measured with them. God will measure us based upon the ability we had and where we're at when we leave this world. If my ability is here and I could have been here, he'd show the difference. And I would get rewards to here, but I'll miss out on all of this because the fire will consume that which is not real. Now, I want you to turn with me to Mark just a moment, because when I think about turn to Mark chapter 1 just a minute. And it's interesting because when you look at this thing of in Christ and then of doing the works of the Lord, the beginning of Christ's ministry shows us a tremendous thing about life. When you begin to read about when Jesus approached John the Baptist to be baptized, I want you to keep in mind, Jesus has not done one miracle up to this time. He's not done one thing. He's not turning water to wine. He hasn't raised the dead. As far as we know, there's no documentation of any miracle that he has done. When he approached to John the Baptist and said, John the Baptist is to fulfill the scriptures that I be baptized. And therefore, John baptized him. And then that's when we see this tremendous method that God set forth from heaven, that the dove came down, recognized, settled on him, represent the Holy Spirit. Christ is the one that was baptized, the Son of God. And then we have God the Father speaking from heaven. This is my Son that I'm pleased with. Hear ye him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this teaches us something here that's very important. There's got to be a relationship before there can be a performance. And even God did that his own Son in the Gospels when we see going to John the Baptist to be baptized. God said about his Son, this is my Son whom I'm well pleased, before we ever see him doing one thing in his ministry for 3.5 years. And God says, I'm well pleased. So God validates his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, before he starts his ministry for those last 3.5 years. What happened to other records, we don't have much about, say he was 12 years old when he was born. That's about it. And so now I begin to see that that's the same way with you and I. We have to be born into the family of God, which establishes a relationship that we will be called sons and daughters of God before you can ever perform. So that means this, as a person himself is outside of Christ, and I don't care how much performance done, it don't do anything for that person. There has to be a relationship before there's a performance. And a performance is what we learn to do as we grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And that performance can be great for our life is concerned. Notice we see, if you will, in verse 9 of chapter 1, he said, and it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John in Jordan. And straightway coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens open, and the Spirit like a dove descended upon him. And there came a voice from heaven saying, thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately, he said, the Spirit driveth him to the wilderness. So we here see Jesus, God the Father said about Jesus Christ as he starts out this baptism and be fulfilled whatever it was to be fulfilled. He says, this is my beloved Son who I'm well pleased. That means simply not only in eternity past he's been pleased with him, but he's also saying what you're going to see I'm pleased with too. The next 3.5 years you're going to see, and when he dies on Calvary, I'm going to be pleased with that too. Because the Bible teaches us that since, and Isaiah talks about it, please him to bruise him. The Bible teaches us since that's the only way a person could be saved, and God loved his creation of man in his image so much that he allowed his Son to be bruised and destroyed so you and I might have life. And so here he goes, and there's something when Jesus started his ministry, same thing. God said to about his Son, I'm well pleased with him. He's not done a thing. Now, here's the thing. When you and I got saved, born into the family of God, which is a sign of having spiritual life, it's like the light of God lit up in us. As God, the Holy Spirit, came in, who is part of the Godhead, light of the world, and his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, he represents in us. And so now he lives in us, and that's that light that in turn starts to manifest in us so that we, as we grow, as Peter says, in grace and knowledge of the Lord, the world will see the deeds in that light so that when they see the deeds, they'll know something's taken place that's different in you and I who have been saved. And so what happens, relationship comes through the new birth before performance. And that's the reason that we start as a babe in Christ and we grow. And that's the reason we find this book is not written only just how to be saved, but you find when you look at comparison of how to be saved and what to do after you're saved, there's a whole lot more in there about to do after you're saved than is to be saved. Though the plan itself from Genesis to Revelation shows God's plan for salvation. And so here, performance comes after we're saved. So whatever we do, and this is the thing about this, if a person really wants to serve God and we have things that has to govern our lives, we don't. A child of God who's walking with God don't mind doing what they need to do so the light can shine. Because that's the only way we're going to get rewards. We don't do it to get rewards. We do it for God's glory. Isn't it an amazing thing? You don't know anything else in this world you can do that you do for someone in turn that would be for their glory and then get reward for it. God says we do it, and we do it for his glory, and he deserves that glory. Therefore, he don't have to do that, but we do it for his glory. And God says, if you do it, I showed you a system that I'm going to reward you for that which will withstand the fire at the beam of seat of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I thought it very interesting to me, and I began to see the performance. The relationships literally established through the new birth when we got saved. And performance comes after a relationship. So keep in mind, if you see anybody who says, well, I'm serving God and don't know they're born again, they're just spinning their wheels in the mud. They're not moving anywhere. So it starts because we have this tremendous new birth in us. And so as I go forward, and I thank God for this book, and I know this, if you stand for this book and stand for these principles, don't think you're not going to be alone. Don't think somebody not go against you. Don't you, religious people and different things, you find you have to stand. We are no different than the early church was when Paul and all the started teaching in that day, because this book stands for truth and cuts heart and sets forth those things that are right and wrong, and they have to be preached, or the whole counsel of God is not been preached. And God declares that to be done. And thank God we have people here that do that, and we're thankful for that. So the thought is, God is fair. God is fair because there is a just judgment for rewards, and there is a just judgment for evil. Right? At the beam of seat of Christ, there's a just judgment for rewards, to be rewarded for that which comes out of the fire, purified, and stands. At the great white throne judgment, there's judgment for that which is evil. And that's one of the things I say, without judgment, there is no difference in anything in this world. And I said a few months ago, without judgment, there's no difference in Hitler and Abraham. If they're not going to be judged, what do you have to stand for the judge by? So it's the fact is, there's coming a judgment day. And Jesus Christ in salvation has taken our judgment for sin. But he's not reward us unless there's a performance. Don't that make sense? By the way, isn't that the way it is in this world? If you get a job somewhere or another, you don't just get a job because they love you and like you. So you're going to have to perform. Right? Yeah, to perform something. We might have different jobs, perform different things, but people don't hire us just to hire us and say, man, I like you, but just come on, you know. You have to perform. And that's the same thing when God saves us by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. So without judgment, there is no difference between, I said again, Hitler and Abraham's life. Now, God manifested that our salvation is free, but our path in this life is more dangerous than the destiny of God's blessing. In other words, when I got saved and God gets me home, my path of traveling is more dangerous than my destiny. And I'm glad of that because my destiny is where God preserves everything and shows what I have gotten. And I'm glad to how dangerous it may be in this life, God will reward because we give our life to him. And that's how God's light shines the brightest in life. Don't tell me, those men in the Middle East we talked about that lost their heads, it might look like to the world that was just nothing there, but in God's sight, there's a light burning there, and all over this world, there's people said, boy, they had something we didn't have. I don't know if I'd done that or not. I don't know if I went that far. I might have stopped. No, when you have what God wants you to have, he helps you do things you would never do by yourself. Never do by yourself. And I thank God for that. So God manifested that our salvation is free, but our path in this life is more dangerous than the destiny of the blessing. So the Christian's path may cost you in this evil world. And I'll tell you this, if you stand on this book, it will cost us as we get to the end. This world is waxing worse and worse and worse. And I want to, as far as the enemy is concerned, he's just as powerful now as he was in the early church. And I'll tell you another thing, he only can be as powerful as God lets him go. But God said, at the end of the age, it's going to wax worse and worse and worse and worse. So that tells us that something not taking place, it could take place. Because, God's Spirit's just as powerful now as it was in Berea in the book of Acts. It's just as powerful as at Thessalonica. On the other hand, it was as powerful in Berea and Thessalonica as it was in Athens. And yet in Athens, it didn't have any meaning at all. People they talked about other things and always the anti-God. And anybody talk about God was a blabbermouth. So we've seen it get waxed worse and worse and worse. In the days, there's going to be a lot of attacks against those Bible-believing churches because they won't conform to the image of what the government wants done. And sometime later, I'd be gone probably because my life's going to be over. But I tell you, some of these folks get on fire for God and start serving God like they should. It's a possibility that they would have to say, hear this, if you deny the Lord Jesus Christ, you live. If you don't, you're going to die. So I don't believe that. Just wait and see. This world does not love the Christ that we serve because he changes lives. He changes everything. The way we look at everything, our relationship with each other, he changes everything to see through eyes of faith that causes us to do things we would not do otherwise when the flesh controls us. The Holy Spirit is greater than this flesh, and yet if a man doesn't have the Spirit, he has no way to control the flesh because everything seems normal. On the other hand, a babe in Christ still thinks everything is normal. There is a change, though, that takes place over periods of time as they serve God. So we must not bow our knees down to our struggle, but to God's active will by submitting. And that's where we have the scriptures that we talk about this thing. Manifestation. There's a manifestation. God's active will in us brings humility. I can't explain that. I just know I've experienced that. God's active will in us doesn't do like the world looks at. It's not a power struggle against, in the sense physically. It's a power struggle that starts inside that we get to conquer to show outside. That's what's amazing about this thing of Christ. There were times in past wars were made religiously. They were started by men. But on the other hand, God says we have a power in us that helps us grow. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, I know you don't understand this, But if a child of God is serving God like he should, and their lives have been given, you'll learn some about what Paul said in his life, in his yielding, and how he could be content. Be content. I'll tell you, Paul was just as content sitting in a high-rise distance. Let me put it the other way. Paul was just content sitting at the prison down in the hole as he would be in a high-rise building somewhere or another. Why? His position didn't matter. It's who he served mattered. And that's what God teaches us. And Paul would be one, if you read his writings and study the one that you find. Man, there's a lot of things he could have done as Saul, but he didn't. He let God use him to grow in what is needed, the change of his name to Paul, who was the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Satan tries to disarm us through disaster and problems, but we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus, according to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 through 37. We're more than conquerors. That's the amazing thing about it. Sometimes we don't feel like we're conquering at all, is it? It sometimes it looks like the enemy, as far as the world is concerned, is conquering us. But ladies and gentlemen, listen. That's the reason the Apostle Paul said in Philippians, when he comes to content, he said, I have a desire to go and be the Lord far better than this life. But I also understand that I'm needed here. And I like the way he put that, because I've been studying some of that here last few weeks, and it blessed my heart. And you know, you can know for a fact it's that Paul means what he said when he said this. God is manifesting in his heart what God will do for someone who's truly born again. And Paul made this statement. He said, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Now, I want to live as long as I can. But you know, Paul was saying, listen, when it comes down to my life, whether I'm here or in heaven, it makes no difference to me because Christ is all I desire. I have him here and I have him in heaven. You can't say that in a flesh not saved, and you can't say that in a carnal flesh either. It won't let you do that. Folks, I'm telling you, Paul has something that we need to look at and understand that what God can do for an individual. And then he put it this way, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And so here's the thing about, wait a minute, Paul, I don't understand it. If for me to live is Christ now and then die is gain, looks like dying will not be gain. Because if you're living for Christ now, the longer you live, the more you would be serving him, and the more it could be when you get on the other side. But he's wanting to let you know when it comes to his life, he's content. Serving God in the prison, serving God in Rome or a house, serving God in Philippi or wherever he may be. For to me to live is Christ, to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I would not. For I'm a strife betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I thought about this. Wonder how many people Paul led to the Lord in his lifetime. I'm sure there was thousands. And since that day, God used all the words that had been written. And so Paul said, what difference does it make? You know, if I hear, I'm going to serve Christ. If I die, I'm going to go to those that I serve Christ here over there. So here I'll be with God's people. Over there I'll be with God's people. It's not changing anything, but if you really want to know the truth, it's better. That's what he said. I have to get it down in Johnson County language so I can really understand it. He said it's better. That's contentment, folks. We can't say that if we don't have contentment. It's contentment. What he's setting forth, a tremendous thing about what it is to be born into the family of God. But to be born as a babe and stay there, you don't never get content. A child is never contented with anything except sleep. But if you begin to grow, Then you learn these elements. This book is, this book is precious, and you can never completely understand it all. But I want you to know this. We can all understand a lot more than we do, because it had to be applied to it. And this book not only tells us how to be saved, but I'm glad God not only tells us how to be saved, but he's telling us what to do since we got saved, and he gives us understanding what to do since we got saved. And even though we know we come short of it, but there's a lot more we could do, and God wants us to do it, and I believe it pleases him. I believe that God will say the same thing with you and I, that when we trust Christ, we're in him, and therefore when it comes to our performance, if we obey. What was the difference in the fact that he said, God said, this is my beloved son who I'm well pleased? Because no matter where Jesus was at, he always obeyed the Father. Obedience. And God knew this. So for you and I to be born again, the performance would be that we obey the Father. And we can't obey the Father unless we know what the Father says. And that's when God gives us the Holy Spirit in this book to understand what God says in his word about our life. Father in heaven, thank you again for the study of these words. Lord, I've spent hours in these things, and I believe with all my heart, dear Father, that some people have been blessed. And I thank you for that. I thank you for the fact that we come and want to feed upon this book. I never get tired of it. And Lord, I just thank you for the years down through that seeing the growth. Maybe some people think I'm growing in it, but I know I have, because there's things now that I see that I wish I saw 30 years ago. But then God does it. We're creatures of gradualism. He lets us grow in grace and knowledge. We don't just grow from ignorant to all knowledge. We grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. And then God gives us wisdom. The fear of the Lord beginning with knowledge, and the fear of the Lord is beginning with wisdom. It helps us be it applied together. And the more that we apply it to ourselves, with God's help, we don't have to apply it to ourselves. It's God helps us to apply it to ourselves. The more we become like him, in some degree, though we fall short. Thank you again for the night. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.